Well, good morning, everybody. One of the headlines in a Kentucky-related news story last week was Black Lives Matter thug murdered Kentucky state trooper who was trying to help them. The Obama regime is intentionally driving a wedge between law enforcement and minority groups to incite civil unrest, and even has the gall to send administration officials to the funerals of black thugs while avoiding the funerals of dead cops trying to do their job of keeping law and order. But another Kentucky news story has similar overtones that are hitting a sensitive nerve with white Christian Americans throughout the nation. Since the not-so-supreme court took upon itself to redefine a millennium of what is traditionally considered marriage and rendered an opinion by only five black-robed devils, that same-sex marriage is now legal. One county clerk, Kim Davis, just said no. For her defiance, a U.S. district judge threw her in jail for contempt. No trial, no due process, no bail, and no recognition of state and federal laws, which she was obligated to follow from her oath of office. Because of this outrageous travesty of justice and an overt declaration of war on Christianity, a rally was organized in support of her stand, and I decided to go to Grayson, Kentucky on September 8th, 2015, protesting her incarceration. And as one banner proclaimed, which is to the three gentlemen, this is the banner I'm referring to. You might not be able to read it in the picture, but on the left it says, "First the baker," and that's referring to a baker that made wedding cakes, and some homosexuals came in and he refused to bake a cake for their wedding. And then the middle one is then the clerk, and the next one to the right of that is next the pastors. That's Don and myself. Well, this should be a wake-up call of monumental proportions that the Obama government, the Republicrat oligarchy, and the Babylonian corporations that own them have launched a blatant attack against Jesus Christ and his followers. The attack is clearly one of intimidation, to bow down before another small g god, the goddesses and gods of homosexuality. Christ has zero tolerance for such perversions, as we just read in Romans 1. A wedge has been driven between good and evil, and I say, bring it on! As I came to the epicenter of activity, there were cops everywhere, ambulances, and religious hucksters of every stripe preaching their brand, who must have gotten there the day before with their vehicles plastered with a very colorful and flamboyant anti-sodomite messages. As you can see in this mini truck, it was just very well decorated, you might say. It was almost like a carnival atmosphere. You could feel the high-pitched emotion in the air, minus the popcorn and cotton candy. And as I followed traffic, going past the event area and driving over a bridge with a lovely creek below, I went another quarter mile, and there was somewhat of an open parking lot, and I parked there And the people came out and said, you can't park there. It was like an animal hospital or something. And so I said, okay, you know, I understand. And so I just went around the corner and on a side street that was already lined with hundreds of cars, 100 yards before the road curved out of sight. But I saw a couple of spots in front of a stop sign, so I took it. Like the cops, you know, are going to be towing cars that day. And a few seconds later, a TV crew in a van pulled right behind me. So I got out, started walking towards the event, and as I joined the throngs of people headed back to the jail, I noticed I no longer had air conditioning and guessed that it must have been around the mid-90s. So I brought my own water to rehydrate, but as I approached the main gate, I noticed the EMS had tons of bottled water on ice and for free. They were very well prepared for heat exhaustion, and it indeed affected some people who were being treated in several canopy tents. Some were even taken away in ambulances. Well, this was definitely a major event, as the next thing I saw was a crop of giant satellite dishes. It looked like a bunch of mushrooms just popped up overnight. And truckloads of more canopies and media equipment. It was funny watching these media whores, which I'm fond of calling them, because they do prostitute themselves, knowing how they were going to spin doctor what was actually going on. I really didn't know what my purpose was going to be once I got there. I was thinking about it on the drive down there. You know, what God wanted me to do, whether I was just going to get there and start preaching Christian identity or engage in conversations. But as soon as I got there, I quickly realized that my mission was to do a sermon, which you're hearing right now. It would have been futile anyway, competing with two huge big black speaker systems, which I took pictures of, emanating from the stage right in front of the jail. And boy, I'll tell you, it was blasting loud music. They must have had it on 10. The volume was that much. And along with playing music and periodic announcements, coupled with a dozen different preachers who came prepared with their own bullhorns. So it really would have been difficult to talk with people. The noise was deafening, and you could hardly carry on a conversation with anyone without yelling. And you know, I got to thinking, that was perhaps intentional by the organizers so that people would not share conspiracy theories or anything of substance, because it was a crowd control mechanism. And I'll tell you who was behind it in a moment. You might be wondering who staged this rally. It was all a Mike Huckabee promotion and production number. A presidential candidate who seized the opportunity to exploit Kim Davis, the county clerk. The exploitation may have been mutual, I don't know. But Huckabee expertly milked the media exposure for all it was worth. He is a former pastor and governor of the state of Arkansas. And I have friends down there that told me years ago he was one of their most corrupt. And that's hard to do with the Clintons being from there also. The rally was to start at 3 p.m., and with impeccable timing, Huckabee and Davis's lawyer, Matthew Staver of Liberty Counsel, who I commented on in the last sermon, Wind, Part 2, they came on stage and said they had a special announcement. and to everyone's surprise said, "Kim Davis is free." And whereupon the proverbial crowd, they just went nuts. Everything just exploded in cheers and tears. It was really quite unexpected. They said she would be speaking at the end of the rally after processing her out of jail. But after she disappeared as if choreographed from a script, the whole crowd began singing God Bless America, prompted by the behemoth sound system, and a local church choir, which sounded very good, which I never actually got to see because there were so many people. But the next song got me to thinking, who is the disc jockey playing all of this? What appeared to be pre-selected music. I couldn't believe the next song was This Land Is Your Land by Woody Guthrie, a fellow traveler of Jews and communists in the 1940s. You may remember his son, Arlo Guthrie, who was real big during the rock and roll revolution of the 60s. Guthrie would have supported same-sex marriages, I'm sure, as his Jewish handlers directed. The crowd was mostly white, but there was also a number of blacks who mostly came in comfort, bringing their own lawn chairs and umbrellas, because they parked themselves right in front of the stage. And I never could get any closer than about 100 feet. So picture-taking became a big challenge, dodging between moving flags, umbrellas, and huge signs, going like this all the time. So I saw about a dozen chartered buses, and some of them were actually church buses, the size of a Greyhound, which must have cost a pretty penny. Before the 3 p.m. showtime, there were some interesting dramas going on. There were quite a few arguments that broke out, probably because of the caption of some of the signs. And I had some of the more juicy ones on my camera, which you're not able to see. But one of them was, "Got AIDS yet?" And as you can see on this one that I got online, it said, "The beginning of a new Holocaust." And right behind it, you can see a Confederate flag. And actually, I saw quite a few stars and bars there that day, which made me feel all warm and fuzzy. There was one old codger sitting on a lawn chair with a little bullhorn close to a bunch of state troopers. And another guy took umbrage with his ideas that God hates queers. His sign said something to the effect that God loves everybody. And we certainly know those types. I watched this go on for about 10 minutes, and the sugar-coated Christian walked away disgusted, like he couldn't convince this old codger that God loves everybody. So I walked over to the old man and patted him on the back and said, "God doesn't love abominations." And he smiled. And as I walked away, I heard him broadcast on his little bullhorn, "And God doesn't love abominations." It was elbow to elbow. And everybody's perspiring profusely, fanning themselves. You know, it was really hot and humid. So I find some shade. I'm looking around, and from the media's flatbed trailer, which is between the stage to the front entrance of the jail and the group of people in lawn chairs right behind that. And I was standing right next to a sound man at his mixing board. And along comes this Hispanic reporter looking for people to interview. He looks like he was some kind of Geraldo Rivera wannabe. He's got a mongrel cameraman and a black guy running interference so people don't block the shot. And he's obviously some kind of Judeo, because all of his leading questions are making him sound like he knows his Bible. Interviewing some Baptist minister and then a pudgy little kid who didn't know up from down. And he saw my ball cap that said, "Trust God, not government." And I was just staring at him. Come on, ask me to interview me. You know? And it looked like he didn't want to interview the likes of me. But the confrontation of the day was with half a dozen lesbians who brought their filthy message of so-called peace, and they had a bigger banner than the first picture we saw with those three gentlemen. And it was about a 12-foot banner. Well, one of the dykes wore a Catholic notch on her collar as if she's some kind of minister of God. Well, it sure wasn't the God of Israel. The antithetical kicker to this was a swarthy Bible-thumping agent provocateur who brought his own rainbow flag and delicately placed it on the ground in front of these lesbos and began spitting on it and stomping on it and reading them the riot act and getting in their faces as they just smiled. You know, I think this stunt was just to get the Kim Davis supporters involved in some kind of altercation as they strategically located themselves within camera range of the media's flatbed trailer. But to their dismay, no one took their bait and just laughed at them as their little provocation fizzled. Well, this really shows how underhanded and conniving the LGBT movement really is. Had someone taken their bait and it was caught on camera, that is what you would have seen on the evening news. Of course, it doesn't work that way the other way around. I recall when Pastor Fred Phelps, I believe he's out of Wichita, Kansas, known for his God Hates Fag protest. When he went to these protests, gay pride parade, the LGBT hurled buckets of urine and human waste at these Christians. But that did not impede their abhorrence of what God considers abomination. And so subsequent protests were equipped with plastic tarps. As the big show got going with speakers, the MC of the event was a Jew turned pastor turned internet viral video star, Joshua Feuerstein, who must have thought he was at the Apollo Theater in Harlem introducing speakers with that, I know there's a word for it, I can't remember what it's called, but it's that mesmerizing cadence of sweaty Negro preachers. "Let's give it up for the red, white, and blue. Hey, brothers, this and that." I was raised in a very sober, quiet Methodist church, so I was never exposed to that. But you'll hear that kind of preaching in charismatic churches or Assembly of Gods. He worked the crowd pretty well, very slick, in tandem with whoever was running the sound system. He told the crowd, "It was the judge who put her in jail, not the sheriff." I guess he conveniently forgot the Nuremberg reply, being that his parents were Holocaust survivors. "I was just following orders." Yeah. The lineup of scheduled speakers was strangely confused, with some billed as coming to the event and not allowed to speak, and others who spoke who had no previous billing. Most notably was Senator Ted Cruz, another presidential candidate who came out in support of Kim Davis and was going to be at the rally, as reported by the media days before. Yeah, Ted Cruz was there, but I never saw him. And he was denied speaking at the podium by Huckabee. In fact, one of his security team, a stubby little looking Korean, if you'll notice, all the flags I saw there that day were gold fringed, flags of admiralty. He physically kept Cruz from exiting the detention center, and who appeared to be dumbfounded. I was wondering, did he tell the goon, "I am a United States senator"? Perhaps the Kung Fu-y goon said, "Exactly." Huckabee later told Newsmax, "This was our event. He's not free to come to an event that we're putting together and invite himself on the program." Well, wasn't that real Christian of them working together for Kim Davis? And if you'll also notice in this picture, right behind Cruz is Matt Bevin, who is the Republican running for governor. He, in the previous election, was running for congressman, and I wouldn't support him any further than I could throw him. He sent out slick color giant postcards proudly displaying his blended family with four or five Somalians adopted into his family. What's to be proud about that? What a race traitor. Before Feuerstein began, he mentioned the Antichrist queers that I had related to you earlier, politely calling them people not having the same point of view or opinion, and then challenged the audience to, quote, not be provoked by outsiders who do not represent Christianity well. Hey, they don't represent Christianity at all! And, quote, to show them grace, mercy, and love. This is a rally of love, end quote. He most likely said that because they were the same Jewish Khazar tribe as he was, who have Canaanite blood running in their veins, whom God spared not, commanding true Israel to have no mercy on them if they wanted their promised land. Really, does God love abomination? Does this Judas priest know what happens when we help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord per 2 Chronicles 19:2? I think he does. And he just cursed. He brought upon the wrath of God to several thousand white Christian Americans in attendance to support a county clerk who is resisting evil, resisting that abomination, but to love the evildoers as well. Does God love Esau? Both the Old Testament and New Testament say no. Amos 5:15 says, "Hate evil and love good, to establish justice," where? In court. There's no justice in loving evil or hating good. I bet Feuerstein doesn't love Hitler or white Christians or our kinsman redeemer. Other guest speakers were warmly welcomed, but were not running for president. The first speaker was Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council. He started out good by saying, quote, "The time for being spectator Christians is over. It is time to take a stand like Kim Davis. It is a time to resist unelected rulers," end quote. Well, it started going downhill after that. He quoted Martin Luther King, quote, one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. Well, King not only had the morals of a stray alley cat hiring white prostitutes and beating them, but was the opposite of a peacemaker, which Perkins tried to attach Blessed Be to a communist agitator who was the cause of rage and rioting everywhere he went. I watched the second GOP debate Wednesday night, and the candidates were asked what great American woman should be on the new $20 bills. That's the latest scuttlebutt. You know, let's put a woman on the new 20. And I couldn't believe that four or five of these candidates said Rosa Parks, another communist-trained provocateur. Well, this subtle pandering to Black Lives Matter hysteria was really quite pathetic and just as disgusting as same-sex marriage. The queers have tried to attach themselves to the civil rights movement, and even some blacks are offended by that. We are living in the days of Noah with rampant race mixing and homosexuality. Perkins echoed a recurring soundbite of religious rights, and that the pilgrims came here for religious freedom. More to the point would be they came here for Christian liberty, and that the pilgrims came here for the advancement of the Christian faith. That's what it says on the Mayflower Compact, which means we don't want other religions in America, period. Speaking of getting kicked off, the next speakers were twin brothers, Jason and David Benham, whose new show on the Home and Garden Channel was canceled before it even premiered because of their outspoken Christian beliefs. That is, they had spoken to several Christian groups in anti-LGBT persuasion in particular. Now, these guys shouldn't be Judeo-Christians. I mean, look at them. They should be Christian identity, having great Aryan genetics, beautiful wives and children. I love their analogy of the gay agenda to silence Christian influence in America. They said it's a little rat with a flashlight shining its image on a wall looking like a dinosaur. And one of the brothers said, all we got to do is flick that rat away. Well, we used to watch the Home and Garden Channel, but it became clear that a crazy sodomite mafia has overwhelmed that channel with cultural Marxism and the cancer of deviant homosexual propaganda. They will never normalize the American home, the family, with aberrant lifestyles that are antithetical to a moral society. But who says we're still one nation under God anymore? When the church first promulgated multicultural diversity and then special rights for the minority of sexual perverts, queers can never be Christians in the eyes of God when God himself has given them over to a reprobate mind, which means one who is incapable of repentance, lost to grace, mercy, and love. Isn't that what we read in this morning's scriptural reading? The twins' father is Flip Benham, who is considered a religious right whack job by the purveyors of hate crime legislation and Orwellian political correctness. Well, he recently led a protest at the home of Judge David Bunning. He's the judge that put Kim Davis in jail, holding him in contempt of Almighty God and handing out flyers to his neighbors explaining what a rat he is. Same-sex marriage is still illegal in Kentucky. The power to divine marriage is not delegated to the federal government anywhere in the U.S. Constitution. Therefore, according to the 10th Amendment, individual states have the right to define marriage. And Kentucky did this very thing in the year 2004, saying, quote, "Only a marriage between one man and one woman shall be valid or recognized as a marriage in Kentucky. A legal status identical or substantially similar to that of marriage for unmarried individuals shall not be valid or recognized," end quote. This is Kentucky law. Furthermore, the opinion of the Supreme Court is the law of the case, not the law of the land. And its opinion is in direct violation of Kentucky law. How does it violate Kentucky law? Well, Kentucky law punishes any magistrate who dares to marry two of the same sex with a $500 to $1,000 fine and removal from office per heretofore unamended Kentucky statute 402.990. So, based on our system of government, Kim Davis did what was right by refusing to issue same-sex marriage licenses because she was upholding Kentucky law. Accordingly, she has repeatedly asked, "Under what law am I authorized to issue homosexual couples a marriage license?" And neither Judge Bunning or anyone else can answer that, because no such law exists. And the Ninth and Tenth Amendments protects the law that Kentuckians put in place. They put limitations on the federal government by specific enumerated powers. Any right or duty not expressly granted to them is forbidden them and belongs to the states or the people. Where is the authorization in the Constitution for the Supreme Court to rule on state marriage laws? There is no such authorization. Therefore, marriage is outside the federal court's jurisdiction. All lawmaking authority is found in the legislature. The courts cannot make law. Now, the Founding Fathers never equated punishment with threats to federal powers. Quite the opposite. They did not want a strong, centralized government that could punish the people according to the whims of the three branches of government, ignoring checks and balances, the biblical concept of just weights and measures. The Bible upholds the same principle. That is, you cannot be punished without breaking a law. For sin is the transgression of the law. The framers of the Constitution were well aware of Isaiah 33:22. "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us." And each branch honored God's delegation of authority by reflecting his will through his word law. We were founded as a Christian nation based on Christian principles. There's even several Supreme Court decisions on that fact. Things have changed, but that is our history and heritage if we can keep the Jews from rewriting the history books. If future generations screwed up that position, that's another story. On the other hand, the states and the people could do what the federal government could not do, and that was to establish whatever denomination or form of Christianity that suited their state through whatever requirements they deemed fit. The so-called religious test was never predicated on nor inclusive of a Judaized or Masonic or Illuminati universalism that translated into all religions and all races, either on a state or federal level. The apostate church has perverted the words all, every, and whosoever in the Bible. And Arnold Kennedy has an excellent exposition on those three words. But what we see today, the rotten corruption of church and state, was only made possible by usurping the Christian vision of the American Revolution, which put the white Christian man on the soil. There was no singing, "This land is your land, this land is my land." That idea comes from the internationalism of Jewry with borderless countries. That is communism. It flies in the face of Deuteronomy 32:8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds or borders of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Not Africans, not Puerto Ricans, but the children of the white race. God's system separated us from them, whites from non-whites, good from evil, gay from straight, Christian from non-Christian, nationalist from internationalist, etc. Our people have always been a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Nowhere does that even hint of an egalitarian interfaith melting pot to include all races and all religions. The Kentucky legislature has yet to change this law prohibiting same-sex marriage one jot or tittle. Instead, five left-wing extremist lawyers out of a population of 230 million. Can you grasp that ratio? Have gone rogue in Washington, D.C., having no loyalty to America, no loyalty to Christianity, and no loyalty to the rule of law. Those five traitors, of whom three are bona fide Jews, one is a crypto-Jew Catholic, and one who wrote the majority opinion in the guise of a law, is a pathetic Chabaz Goy, which is a Jewish lackey. These five, Kagan, Breyer, Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Kennedy, respectively, have no business living in the United States of America, and they should seek refuge in Israeli, where their loyalties reside. There is a penalty for treason, and I dare say it is death. If they are not resisted now, their tyranny against Christianity will not stop with a county clerk. They'll think they have a green light to legalize any other sort of sin crime if there is no opposition. The media reported only a few hundred attended the rally, which is a lie. I was there. There were thousands. And I would say they were there to say to the black robe devils, we not only support Kim Davis, but we will likewise stand in the gap when it's our turn to choose God or Baal. And many of them there that day, I think, had already chosen. When the rubber hits the road, we either serve the living God or we're just playing church, giving lip service to a sugar daddy small g God. We either obey the Bible or the Talmud. And here's where we can press the issue that Christianity owes absolutely nothing to Judaism. They are the epitome of opposites. The Word of God condemns sodomy, whereas the rabbinical circumventions give sodomy a free pass. In Elizabeth Dilling's book, The Jewish Religion, Its Influence Today, and by the way, I think I'm going to send the text of this message to Kim Davis. I think it'll be a real eye-opener to her, and I pray that it gets her to thinking, especially with this paragraph here. She writes and documents the Talmudic license for sodomy, quote, despite, and this is straight out of her, she has actual photocopies from the Talmud itself in her book, The Jewish Religion, Its Influence Today. Quote, despite the thunderings and prohibitions of the Bible, sodomy in general, and specifically with little children, dead bodies, neighbors' wives, and one's own wife is permitted by the Talmud. Sanhedrin 58b of the Talmud states that sodomy or unnatural connection is permitted to a Jew and permits sodomy with a neighbor's wife. Baby boys may always be used as subjects for sodomy by grown men, according to the Talmud. The Pharisaic subterfuge here is that until a child reaches sexual maturity, capable of sexual intercourse, he or she does not rank as a person. Hence, biblical laws against sodomy or pederasty, also known as pedophilia, do not apply. Throughout the Talmud, 9 years and one day is the fictitious age of a male maturity. When grown up, man has intercourse with a little girl, it is nothing. For when the girl is less than this, that is, less than 3 years old, it is as if one puts the finger in the eye. Tears come to the eye again and again. So does virginity come back to the little girl under 3 years. That is found in Kehuthboth 11b of the Talmud. This is the standard doctrine of the whole Talmud on baby girls. Sodomy and intercourse with babies is the prerogative of the adult Talmudic man, in contrast to Christ's beautiful teachings concerning little children. There, the acts of sodomy with one suffering an incurable disease, hence regarded as already dead or a terapha, is held to be merely as one who abuses a dead person and hence exempt. The explanation is punishment is generally imposed because of the forbidden pleasure derived, whereas there is no sexual gratification in abusing the dead. How apt it was when Christ called the Talmudic Pharisees whited sepulchers, full of all uncleanness. Yet some of his followers call these abominations of every decency God's chosen people and people of the book. All of this is made Jewish religious doctrine with full Luciferian knowledge of the Bible's laws against it. End quote. Elizabeth Dilling fought Jewish communism fearlessly. And for her feisty resistance to the Roosevelt tyranny at home and warmongering abroad, she was arrested and jailed just like Kim Davis. But Dilling was not convicted in the famous sedition trial of 1944, along with 30-plus other co-defendants. She incurred the wrath of satanic Antichrist Jews for daring to expose their plot against Christianity and refusing to be silent about it. And by satanic, I mean mongrel high-bred bastards in contradistinction to white Christians perfect in their generations. Joe McCarthy also came close to exposing the den of vipers until he got too close to the State Department. And even closer to home, the late Congressman James Traficant. They've come a long way, baby, with Jewish lesbian witch Hillary Rodham Clinton wanting desperately to be America's first female despot in the Oval Office. The same vermin fired the first shot to those who dared to exercise their conscience, objecting to the institutionalization of mocking traditional marriage and mocking God. What our adversaries will never understand is that Christianity has survived 2,000 years of tribulation because of the saints and martyrs of Jesus Christ. We simply will not tolerate any other gods before the one true God of creation. We Christians know that suffering brings perseverance, or as the King James says, patience. But our patience should never be confused with weakness. In 1773, the Sons of Liberty, led by Samuel Adams, declared at the onset of the Boston Tea Party that, quote, death is more eligible than slavery. A free-born people are not required by the religion of Jesus Christ to submit to tyranny, but may make use of such power as God has given them to recover and support their liberties. We implore the ruler above the skies that he would bare his arm and, get this, let Israel go, end quote. They were not talking about Jews. They had a little identity wake-up calling to perceive the nature of who they were and what their divine mission in life was all about. And most importantly, they knew the real enemy from within and without. They witnessed the white power of repentance. Davis isn't the only clerk with convictions over same-sex marriage licenses. Other clerks in Kentucky, I think there's three of them so far, and in Texas, Alabama, and Florida, have also resisted the change. Some clerks are allowing deputies to issue licenses they cannot sign under their religious convictions, while other counties are opting to not issue any marriage licenses at all. In those counties, state constitutions allow the discretionary decision because it does not mandate for a magistrate or probate court to issue marriage licenses, but states they may issue them. One sign at the rally said very clearly, the laws of man versus the laws of God, the Supreme Court versus the Supreme God. Who has the final say? Indeed, there is no law that requires a county clerk to issue a marriage license to people of the same sex, or adults with children, or humans with barnyard animals. Question, where is the law? What legislator voted for it? What executive signed it? What are the elements of the law? Who wrote the law? Where can you find it? Should we obey God or man? There should be no accommodations for homosexuals in a heterosexual society, and county clerks should not have to be accommodated because of the sins of an immoral minority. There are still many nations in the world that execute homosexuals, knowing that decadence always brings the collapse of law and order. If we accommodate the sin, then the sin proliferates and brings the curse of God's judgment. If we accommodate the clerk, we are admitting that the sin is tolerable. It is not. God says it's an abomination. This situation cannot remain in the status quo. Otherwise, the criminalization of Christianity will move forward as if it's legitimate. It is not. What we need in America is the criminalization of Judaism and to purge the Jew according to Scripture. Forget the old and tired buzzwords and look at what they've done to ruin our land and our people. Are people such mental midgets that they can't communicate behind or beyond ragging Nazi or anti-Semite? Has the Jew dumbed us down that much? Can churchianity overcome this insidious propaganda that good is evil and evil is good? The rally I attended was so close, yet so far. It was close to the appropriate disgust and revulsion of immorality and corruption, the visible effects and symptoms. But it was far from the understanding the causes and resolving the problem in righteousness. When I first heard about the rally, shortly thereafter, Pastor Elmore sent an email about another rally that was to take place 3 days later on a Friday. And one of the proponents was Flip Benham that I mentioned earlier, who's the father of the Benham twins. I'd never heard of him before, so I researched who he was, and he came out of the Randall Terry group, Operation Rescue, if you remember that from years ago. It was a proactive anti-abortion organization. And Flip Benham started his own group called Operation Save America. Now, he's notorious for heckling queers and crashing at gay weddings. He and Fred Phelps would do well together. I listened to an interview with Pastor Benham that he had with Jewish talk radio host Alan Colmes about the Kim Davis story. And he was very informative and persuasive, but you can't talk to a Jew. You can't cast your pearls before swine. He should have listened to his sons. All we got to do is flick that rat away. Esau Edom is going to be destroyed with the flick of a bick. Moreover, you can't persuade people that have more truth than he does about race and sodomites. He kept referring to his black brothers and sisters, espousing the universalism of Jewish programmers. Why is it that these so-called militant, radical Christians wish to wave their magic wands and edit out the part of the Bible that says homosexuals shall be surely put to death, their blood shall be upon them? I didn't hear him peep that one line ever at all. And they try to undo what God has done, giving them over to a reprobate mind, thinking their preaching can reverse an evil to good. Who are they to reverse God's will? Flip would be a dynamic identity preacher if he would stop and realize that the racial question in America is no different than the homosexual question. Both are manipulated by the Jew, and both impact our heritage and our race, the true Israelites of history. Now, Martin Luther King and Ellen DeGeneres are equally repulsive to God and should likewise be to us. They cannot repent. If you'll see the picture just above with the guy in the caddy hat there on the left, his sign says, "Repent, turn to Jesus, or burn." Well, they're going to burn regardless of whether they repent or not. But they cannot repent because they are either reprobates or non-Israelites. Well, the rest of the speakers at the rally didn't make that much of an impression on me, having the same old tired Judeo ethic of hate the sin and love the sinner, not to be found anywhere in Scripture. I brought about 100 flyers and figured the best time to distribute them would be when people were leaving. And because of my hat and charming smile, they happily received, my hat said, "Trust God, not government." They happily received, "Could you be an Israelite? And can anything be Judeo-Christian?" And I saved the best for last, "Are white Christians blessed or cursed by the Jews?" After I exhausted my supply of identity flyers, I started walking back to my car and only saw 2 flyers on the ground. That's a pretty good percentage. I pray the seed was planted with some of the recipients of the good news that we carry. The Kim Davis case has become a high-profile flashpoint in America's cultural wars, garnering national news coverage. Well-meaning Christians, knowing something is wrong with this latest escalation of moral erosion, seeing that God's law has been tossed aside for what? They've been sold the Beatles' bill of goods and Pied Pipers of the pulpits that all you need is love. What they cannot hear is the word of God that says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And oh my, how they love the Jew and his lies. They are not even cognizant that they need to repent of the Jew, of God's foremost adversary, the real Satan's among us. The laws of secular humanism, that is, the authority of self-righteousness, was staring the crowd in the face. We Christians don't need no stinking marriage license. We are stuck in the quagmire of Babylonian contracts when we covenant with the government, leaving God out of the picture. "What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Vicarious human laws separate us from being God's covenant people." We can make all the laws we want for our society, but they must always conform to the proof text of what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. The white man has struggled in his manifest destiny to advance the Christian faith, but so often negates the principle and spirit of his law with the empty words of the letter of the law. The new covenant has supernaturally been imposed upon our hearts and minds of all Israelites, not Jews, to administer the government of Christ. Striving to fulfill our calling is what leads us to the kingdom of God, albeit imperfectly. That's because we only have a down payment on this Holy Spirit to partially see who we are and what our duty demands of us. I've been saying for years that God is in control of things like this, even though a Sodomite mafia might think it's in charge. In order to get his people off their butts, be not conformed to this world. Come out of her, my people. Be separate from them. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And on and on and on. Spirit means motivation. And if we are not motivated, if we do not seek a spiritual resolve, we will continue to suffer persecution and tribulation. Something intrinsically missing from our Christian consciousness is the concept of resisting tyranny. Because Romans 13 has been so terribly distorted to make people think they must be subject to any higher authority simply because it's the current one in power. That is not only unbiblical, because Romans 13 goes on to explain what constitutes the powers ordained of God, but it's also cowardice. Terrorism is a funny business these days, depending on who is terrorizing who. The big losers are pacifists and spectators. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew or spit or vomit thee out of my mouth. The Christian standard has always been that when the state forbids that which God commands, or commands that which God forbids, then we must obey God rather than man. William Blackstone was the foremost scholar of law and highly regarded by the founding fathers because he expressed the idea that any law or laws that were made contrary to the law of God should not be suffered among us. Now that the pragmatic standard has been thrown under the bus, the government can just make it up as it goes along. And that is the religion of secular humanism. What to do? Fight for religious liberty, keeping in mind that the word religion is no longer synonymous with Christianity, and encompass every abomination under the sun, and personally opt out of our divine calling to defend the faith wherever it leads? No! Our founders had the vision of governing by representation, another biblical concept. So that when the higher powers abrogated their duties, it was the duty of the states or the people, the lesser magistrates, if you will, like Kim Davis, to stand in the gap, to hold back the judgment of God. History is replete with men of God choosing to do what was right according to the word, after being told to do something that was wrong, according to the word. All of the disciples, except John, were murdered by the state, or Jews, when told they could not preach Jesus. The first century was a bloody persecution of apostles in the primitive church. Fox's Book of Martyrs chronicles men of faith that were tortured at the hands of a sadistic Catholic priestcraft. The principle is the same with Kim Davis. God delegates authority to civil magistrates. Therefore, they must govern according to His rule of law. That's why Romans 13:4 says they are a minister of God to punish evil and reward good. They cannot administer the rule of law if they reward evil and punish good. When a higher authority imposes something contrary to God, the lesser magistrate has the duty in the eyes of God to defy that which offends God. If the people surrounding Kim Davis counsel her to compromise, then that will not abate God's wrath. We have to learn, I know it sounds simple, we have to learn how to do what is right. Not choosing between two evils, because that's still evil. As I've mentioned already, Liberty Counsel is chasing after multiculturalism and whoring after Judaism. A simple truth for white Christians is that racism is justified. Everything that trickles down from the ministers of King Obama is null and void because it violates the law. Deuteronomy 17:15, whereby our only our kindred can rule over us, not the racial alien. We have baser sorts of men ruling over us as a rod of chastisement, not because it's right. The ungodly are a curse for our disobedience, not a blessing. Maybe they're a blessing for their own third world of mongrelization and the onslaught, it appears, of the coming alien invasion from the Middle East. And what a blessing for the Israeli to rid the Levant of the Goyim. Let's understand one thing. Kim Davis was not sent to jail for exercising her First Amendment right as an individual. She was found in contempt for the contest between two jurisdictions, the government of God versus the government of man, and the former trumps the latter. She was in jail because every official, before it came to her office, gave implied consent, giving carte blanche to an emerging Antichrist tyranny. Shame on Mike Huckabee and Ted Cruz for making momentary hay for their love of personal gain, a photo op with Kim, a big boost for their fundraising, lots of publicity, while doing nothing to address the heart of the matter, in fact, bragging about their loyalty to the liars and murderers of Jewry that brought us the Talmudic jurisdiction in the first place. The five non-Christian justices are not infallible, as is God, and therefore their decision was illegitimate because it flew in defiant contempt of God's law. Where was the so-called Christian sheriff in all of this? This could have been a great day. The day the U.S. Marshals showed up. Had the sheriff executed his oath of office with the Second Amendment, the county might as well issue him and his deputies plastic squirt guns. The religious liberty defense will cause much fanfare, but the Jewish masters will remain seated and ensure the demise of one lady standing in the gap. Whenever one branch of government initiates tyranny, all of the other branches and subdivisions of state, county, and city have a sacred duty to uphold the godliness of laws that oppose tyranny. godless lawlessness. The Bible says the truth shall make you free. But in order for a tyrant to get some traction, they need good people to do nothing. You know what? If they do nothing, they're no longer good. They become part of the problem. We desperately need the Christian identity truth to inspire our people to follow the God of Israel, not the gods and goddesses of the world. Christ said, I have come to cast fire upon the earth. And what do I purpose? In other words, what do I desire? If already it's ignited or kindled. Are there any fires of hate kindled in your heart for what is happening to our Beulah land? If your Judeo church has been emasculated into a puddle of trepidation for fear of the Jews, then you need to leave that queer-loving church. It is spiritual asbestos to the words of Christ. The fire Christ speaks of cannot be kindled into a flame until something happens in your heart. Sam Adams understood perfectly. He said it does not require a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen to set brush fires in people's minds. Likewise, Hebrews 1:7 describes God ministers as a flame of fire. The enemies of God will be cast into a furnace of fire. Don't you just love it? Or do you have sympathy for the devils that strangulate the voice of God's dissident magistrates? The main thing we lack as Christians is a unity of faith. And faith isn't sedentary, it's very proactive, which should be coming from the shepherds feeding the sheep. But wolves are in charge of the flocks, accounting them ready for slaughter. Traitors in our midst that feed the people poison must be exposed. Playing politics is just as ineffective as the lethargy of couch potatoes playing armchair quarterbacks. But Christian activism will be blessed of God and cause a much needed confrontation with the enemies of God. The ecclesia, the called out ones, is the body politic and is never regarded as anything other than proactive. Whether it is political or not is a matter of semantics. The kingdom is theocratic, which is to say that God cannot be separated from government. They would love for us to keep it in the four walls of our church here, but that ain't going to happen. If God has a plan for the ages, then we need to know what that plan is. I pray that Kim's minister has fed her with the biblical concept of interposition of the lesser magistrate. We are commanded to abstain from all appearance of evil. Christian leadership interrupts anything that attempts to spoil the whole. This is the debacle of corruption. Once it gains the inertia of error, both Davis and Bunning contend that they're Christian. His argument is that she violated her oath of office. In reality, he did too, thinking that if he did what she did, he would go to jail. He said he had no other choice but to punish Kim. What was her oath? An excerpt reads, I will well and truly discharge the duties of the office and will faithfully execute the duties of my office without favor, affection, or partiality. So help me God. Well, since the Supremes ruled in favor of the queens, or queers, these duties now include issuing marriage licenses to homosexuals. The greater issue for a Christian nation is, what if your oath of office is in direct conflict with your God's law? Such was the case for Kim Davis, taking a greater oath to love her God with all her heart, mind, and soul. And for that, she was imprisoned. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. Does Bunning, Judge Bunning, love Christ? Is his oath of office as a U.S. District Judge superior to his loving Christ with all his heart, mind, and soul? Actually, what Bunning said was that he had a genuinely held religious beliefs. Well, perhaps his beliefs were not in conflict with his oath of office after all. If he believed in the God of the Bible, then he should also believe in God's law, especially given his profession and how to reconcile same-sex marriage in his mind. Thus, his oath of office was a lesser oath. If this is a fair assessment, then why did he not obey God rather than man? His beliefs, given his own shallow lip service, indicates he's either a poltroon or he worships a deity other than Jesus Christ. Pastor Lawrence Blanchard, in his blog this last week, surmised from this apparent impasse that, quote, if there is no one and only belief system, many gods and many differing beliefs must be accommodated. Therefore, anything goes, except, of course, for the narrow road of biblical Christianity. I would further submit that this pluralistic religious culture is the direct result of an all-inclusive, universally implied gospel, end quote. And that really is the conundrum in a nutshell. The one who is wrong is the judge who sent the clerk to jail without any higher authority to do so. Now, she doesn't want to be a hero, but neither was Daniel or Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, who were sent to the lion's den and a big barbecue pit. Both were simply following the leading of God's Spirit. Nevertheless, I greatly admire her story, her transformation and new life in Christ, and walking the talk. Is a rare privilege to travel and support one who stands in the gap while the rest of the world goes insane. Her husband Joe, coveralls and all, is the salt of the earth. I really like that guy. I have a green visor hat just like his. Some of the late night comedians made fun of his fashion statement, but they know nothing of the hillbilly genre in Kentucky. At the rally, Joe thanked the crowd for coming to support Kim. The message she gave him to tell us was, tell them to hold their head up high, because I am. In Luke 21:28, we read, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Thank you.